Okay, we are on page 87. We finished that whatever book it was last, Prayer and Faith thing last week. And that's why you see sketches from the life of Paul on screen if you're in the stream, YouTube stream. And so we're on page 87. If you have the book, if you don't, well, you know where it's at on WTPR. Let me give it to you over there. On it's on my server. It's going to be a PDF file. Let me drop it in the... Oh, somebody... Joe put it in the chat room. Let's see if anybody has put it in the... I'm going to beat him to the stream. Boink. Gotcha. So it's already in the stream. So if you click that link in the stream, you can read along with me. And, of course, everybody in the chat room knows all about that. Let me just see if I... Oh, I'm on pop-out, so I can't see. I think I changed it to Testimony Sabbath underneath the chat room, but when you use pop-out, yeah, there is no underneath. You can't scroll under. Pop-out will make the chat room whatever shape it is. You know, keep it in your prayers. If they come up with a way to where we can make this chat room think it's still using Flash, but a better version, we'll keep it because we're used to this, you know. We are just so used to this chat room. But it's okay. We can get used to another one because this is the third chat room server we've had over the years. Fifth, if you count the public ones. We had one like Fire Talk and Yahoo Messenger and Pal Talk. But Pal Talk, you want a virus? Go to Pal Talk. Even if you pay for it, they'll hack you. You know, and the owners will do it, too, if you're a Christian, because they're Catholics. They hate them. They hate the Christians in there. Well, at least the ones that I was dealing with. So, all right, so we're on page 87. How's the audio, by the way? It's showing level is optimal for some goofy reason. Audio, okay, it's good. All right, good. Okay, all right, so this is chapter 9, Paul at Berea and Athens, page 87 of the Sketches from the Life of Paul. And everybody's got the links, so let's go for it. It says, at Berea, Paul again commenced his work with... let me zoom in a little bit, because when they... These old-fashioned books, when they scan them, sometimes the M's and the N's and the U's all become one big letter. So I thought it said communed, but it says commenced, but you can't really tell with that one M. The top part of the M is open. It looks like a U next to an N. Or an I. So anyway, at Berea, Paul again commenced his work by going into the synagogue of the Jews to preach the gospel of Christ. He says of them, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. This is a rarity in today's church. Hence the reason for 44,000 denominations that spun off from Roman Catholicism. They call themselves Protestants, but no, they're all Roman Catholic. That's why they're going to easily go back in. Like when Copeland did what he did a few years ago, saying that the protest was over, and all 3,000 or 4,000 of his pastors in that convocation said, we are now all Roman Catholic, and they were, you know, worshiping the Pope. He was on this big screen TV and all this stuff. And so this is a rarity today where you're going to get a Berean mindset, not in the remnant church, of course, because this is why we're here. Those of us in this church know that when you're in an SDA church or a Catholic church or any of the Protestant churches, you know something ain't right. It's just, you know, eventually you know it's apostate. It's just, and the word of God is clear when something's, like if you're in an apostate church, you need to get out, and you need to get out immediately. Otherwise, you're just plain being disobedient. You're being defiled by those women, because in prophecy, the women is a church. And so, why are there 44,000 denominations? Because mankind, ever since the apostles died off, and whatever reformer comes along, and when he or she dies off, the people have a tendency to just worship the pastors or obey the pastor. That's another way of looking at it, because obedience or worship, same thing when it comes to the way the Bible defines it. And so when you do it that way, you're easily manipulated to believe anything. And that's why there's 44,000 different denominations out there, because whatever guy has the best story is the one they're going to follow. But with the remnant, no. Whoever sticks closest to the, whoever sticks, you know, with the word, not just closest to it, but with the word of God, that's where you're going to find, you're going to find the obedient remnant people. That's the only place you're going to find them. That's why these people that leave our number over the years, and there's been a few. It's not just the guy that happened recently. There's been a few that go out there thinking they're all that or something, and you know, thinking they're going to start something. They usually leave bad, and say that they're, you know, when we leave, you know, it's going to empty your church because, you know, come on, people want to hear the truth. And it's same story over and over again. They go belly up in, you know, a year, two, 3 or 4 years or something like that. Or they just continue on with the 5 or 6 people that they had from day one. And slowly but surely, you know, get a family here or get a family there. Because you're not going to get the remnant people, the ones that are striving to be in that number, the Gideon band wannabes, if you, you know, for lack of a better term, they're not going to join those churches because we have the same mindset of those in, you know, Berea. They, like Paul says, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because, and you see it everywhere. I remember one time when one of my boys and I went into Danville, Illinois, because I was looking on Craigslist when it was still safe back when it first came out, and I found out there because we were starting a home church, and we were living just outside of Danville. Well, not just outside, we were like 40 minutes out, and we had some people coming. We were still we had just started keeping Sabbath, that's right, and so, which emptied our church. It was just down to family, but I figured, well, we could still use some pews, right? And so I looked online and looking for like benches or pews or whatever, and this one preacher in Danville had I guess he started his congregation started to grow a little bit. And he, you know, he says, yeah, come on down. I'll give them to you, like, you know, $20 each, because they were just planks put together, kind of nice and stained and really good and varnished, really old, probably 100 years old at that. Like our first convocation, if you want to call it that, was I rented this old church in Lafayette, and that's what they had. They had these really old-fashioned pews. And so me and my son are loading them up in the back of the truck. And we're getting ready to leave, and he goes, you know, we're having Wednesday night study here. And I says, yeah, well, that's nice, but I didn't want to say that, yeah, but, you know, I'm a Sabbath keeper and all that. And he goes, would you come in and just share with us whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart? And I said, you got to ask me twice. And so I jumped on that pulpit in record time, and I just went up there and talked about how the mark of the beast, and this was like 2 or 3 months after I found out what the real mark of the beast was, right? And it didn't go well. Let's just put it that way. You know, the majority of the people were like, huh? Because you know, they just had this weird look on their face, like, you know, like they were watching paint dry or something, and they weren't really getting into it, but there was this one guy that was. And him and I hit it off. We talked for a while, and then we went back and forth with the phone calls, and then all of a sudden, he started to realize that he wasn't going to be able to chip away at my theology. I think he was befriending me because the pastor says, you might want to get this guy coming to our number, you know, so he can preach here once in a while and all that, but you got to get him off this and this and that, whatever stuff, you know. But he was acting real friendly, and it got into a shouting match. You know, because, and the only reason I raised my voice because I couldn't get a word in edgewise to get him to shut up on the phone. And back then I still had anger, a lot of it. And so that didn't go well. But the thing was, what shocked me the most was, what kind of a church would allow someone that you've never met stand on the pulpit and share what the Lord has laid upon their heart? I mean, at least they heard the truth as it was written, and it wasn't gilded or anything like this, because we were Sunday keeping, you know, congregation. But yeah, it's just like years ago there was a guy from turned out to be a con man, this guy that was wanting to be part of our number and stuff like that, and he contacted me. Oh, WTPR went out. No, it's still in. Yeah, it's still in there. They can still hear me. Yeah, they can still hear me. I don't see why. Are you in WTPR, Eli, or are you? Because it's showing it's in here, and I can see the. Maybe it's lag, but people on, all the people on the stream, are saying it went out. Oh, okay. Well, it does that, I guess. I don't know. There's eight. Well, it was 16 families. Now it's down to 8. But maybe it was a lag thing because I'm seeing the VU meter showing they can hear. Like when I talk, it jumps up. You know, it's like it lets you know. Kind of like the well, I call them VU meters because that's how it was in the day. But like in our chat room, you got that little bar that jumps up and down, lets you know the mic is hot. Same thing's happening with WTPR. They can hear me. There's 8 people in there. But is anybody on the stream? Is Sister Tracy in? Can you guys double check and go back and forth and see if it's? I know 8 families are in there. I could see the number. If I wanted to, I could waste 30 minutes and find out where you live, but or your state. I'm not going to find out. I don't go all the way to MAC address. That doesn't. It's. I don't even think it could do that. But it just went down to 7. So people are. No, it looks like, because they were having trouble in this chat room on Thursday night, I think. So, I hope the guy from India doesn't come in here. His name is going to be User if he does. But then again, he won't say nothing, obviously. Let me just. They're saying it went out. Oh, yeah, because it shows it's in the room here. You can see it. Okay, let me refresh it just for giggles. So I'll just hit refresh. So for those of you, now it's up to 9. So I'm thinking they're coming back in. Can anybody up? Yeah, the stream can hear me. Test. Yeah, I just saw that one jumped. Is anyone here on WTPR? Okay, so in the stream, I just asked that question. So it's back up to 9, but now it just dropped down to 8. I don't know what to do there, so Tracy is. Yeah, I know, but she's not telling me anything. I don't know if she's in or out or if she can hear me or anything, but so I'm just going to refresh it since it's not, it's probably going to anger 9 people, but just give it a minute. For those of you that are in there right now, you'll get some dead air for, because I don't do an auto refresh. I have to type in WTPR and a password and all that. So let me refresh it. Okay, now I'll just type in WTPR and the password, and there I go. Okay, we're back in. All right, now they should be able to hear me on WTPR. It's on now. Well, it was probably on when I... Okay, let's leave it there. All right. Okay. So, completely forgot where I was at. But yeah, the thing about the con man out in Georgia, because all of a sudden, because he was getting really hot and heavy, getting involved with me. The people on the West Coast were still connected to us and that. And he was putting he was putting out flyers and CDs and DVDs, and he knew a bunch of cops, and he was handing them to the cops, and it all turned out to be a bunch of con stuff, and he was looking for money. And so he's probably going to get on the pulpit and start asking for money. And he approached me. He says, "Yeah, I'd like to get on there and preach, if it's okay." And I says, "Well, that's great and all that, but nobody in the church family knows you yet." Or no, that's right. He didn't even go there yet. He comes to me and he says, "Yeah, I'd like to be ordained as a pastor in the Seventh-day Remnant Church." And I says, "That's not how it works." I says, "First of all, no one here in the church family knows you. You have to get, they have to, in other words, the only way you're going to get ordained in the obedient Seventh-day Remnant Church is biblically, where the men of the church are moved by the Holy Spirit to all, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, this man, whoever's leading the Bible study or whatever the case may be, because that's what I did for years. I just did these Bible studies online, and I did sermons, but, I just more or less did studies. I prefer to teach. And, the men of the church will come and be moved by the Holy Spirit to lay hands on whoever, and he goes, "Well, that's pretty childish. Okay, well, that's all I needed to hear. And then I started looking into the guy, and we found out that he was a criminal and all this other stuff, and he was trying to work his way. It was only a month or two into joining us. It was, like, really strange. But amen, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so this is how a lot of these denominations, this 44,000 denominations came to be, is like obedience wasn't part of the picture. Until you get around guys like Wesley, Tyndale, Luther, that, you know, that crowd, you know, and or even Huss, you know, you get around these guys that are doing it and doing it right. But as soon as they die off, it just goes downhill from there, because the people have a tendency to trust the guy on the pulpit rather than read their own Bibles. And I praise God what recently happened with this church family. When the West Coast people left, it wasn't on a doctrinal thing. It was just outright a criminal act and breaking Sabbath and recording the whole thing on camera kind of a thing. It was just outright sin. And so, but that, you know, but still it wasn't anywhere near the amount of sin the people that used to be part of our number recently when they left. Big difference. A lot more sin with them. But with them, it was doctrinal, like with these people recently that left us, doctrinal and prophetic. And I praise God that the Lord allowed it to go that way, because I was talking, you know, in the midday prayer the other day, and the only thought that came to mind is it was done specifically for that reason, so as to get the people. It's kind of like what happened in 1844 to test the people, to see who the serious ones are. Because look what happened. The people that don't study Bibles clamored after that man and his wife, because they don't preach from Scripture. It's all made-up stuff. That's why they won't explain completely. They can't give you the verses to back any of their stuff up, right? Or they'll have to give you edited SOP that's already from Jesuit minds. And the reason I say this was a major blessing for us is because, and this shocked me, because of what I saw the last, you know, 10, 15 years of, you know, being in this church family, is I've never seen the church family literally go into the Scripture and dig and dig and dig to find out where the truth was really being presented. I never asked them to do that. I says, you know, well, that's what your duty is as Bereans. That's what Sister White's talking about here. That's what Paul realized when he saw the people in Berea. And that's what we got to be like. That's why we're still standing. Yeah, the day's going to come when we're going to be behind bars or, you know, hanging out in some cave, but that doesn't matter. Right now, you know, we're going to be attacked. We're going to be attacked again. It's going to happen again. You got to know that. And but the thing I love about all this is how it made the serious people open their Bibles, and they really did find the truth. And you know who you are. And I praise God for that, because the ones that don't open their Bibles, they're with that other crowd. They went with them. But then that was always the case before that all went down anyway, because there were a few people that are part of their number that weren't known for opening up a Bible on a regular basis, because I would talk to them sometimes, and, you know, on the phone when they would have issues and call for counsel and stuff, and, man, when was the last time you read a Bible kind of a thing? You know, and they would always have the same thing. I'm not going to mention any names, but everybody seems to have, like, that has those major issues in life, and they'll call or something like that. Like if they had financial, you know, like a financial issue, I says, well, brother or sister, when was the last time you tithe? Because if you don't tithe, the Lord can't prevent the devourer from coming upon your finances. He can't. If you're disobedient, then you're saying, okay, back off, Lord, I don't really need you right now. Let Satan move in and do what he usually does. Because that's what's going to happen if you don't tithe. Same thing holds true if you don't read Scripture. If you don't study the Bible every morning. And I got to tell you, lately, especially ever since, you know, the camp was cleansed, and the obedience was made. Oh, I got a letter from a sister today in regards to all this, because of she knows what my heart's feeling. Because I was telling you all that I had a dream the other day, or this week, or early this week, about someone and how I hugged him, and was hoping that he's coming back, but it doesn't look that way. But because this hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, when this all went down, and it was really difficult to deal with, and you know, a lot of prayer, a lot of sadness. And she noticed it and mentioned how, but you got to do the right thing. Yeah, love Jesus first. No partiality, like it says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 21. And my brothers and sisters, the Berean heart, you know, the people that have the same hearts that the Berean people did with the Holy Spirit, the readiness of mind, the wanting to go and to see only what the Scripture says and not what some silver-tongued, you know, wolf is going to say on a pulpit and give you his opinion and dress it up or read it to you or whatever, you know, because it's... You got to go by that which is written, and that's the only way to stay safe. See, because before I was a Christian, I was really good at lying, and at least I thought so. I guess I didn't fool everybody in some of the stuff that I was saying or doing. But when I finally found the Lord, that was one thing I always had a problem with, was liars, because that's the first sin. Well, okay, the second. First one was self, you know, glorification, you know, pride. When Lucifer, before his name was changed, when he started looking at himself like he's all that. Because it's so invasive, because when I was very naive all the way up until my mid-20s, late 20s, in fact, trusting people too much, because I was the kind of guy that says, you can trust me. And I would hold to my word, even though I was kind of a criminal at times, but it was more in the corporate end. I wouldn't rip off my own friends, if you will. But I was very, very naive, and I was taken advantage of quite a few times because I trusted people too much. But I praise God for the way He changes the hearts to where lies, because it's like being burglarized, the way I always looked at it. Your house is like somebody broke into your space. Somebody broke into your house and stole your stuff. It's the same thing as someone that you trusted lied to you. That hurts. That hurts a lot. And so I never, I always steer clear of people like that. But then every now and then you'll run into someone in our church family, because we're so far apart from each other, you can't really tell someone's fruit right off. That's why I love our camp meetings, when we can get together and you can really see the Holy Spirit in the eyes of our brethren. But when they're thousands of miles apart, and if they go into sin, you just don't know it. And so this is where the Scriptures is our anchor. We have to, like, if someone steps off and starts saying things that are strange, you got to do like the Bereans, like she's saying. But anyway, she goes on to say that in the presentation of the truth, those who honestly desire to be right will be awakened to a diligent searching of the Scriptures. This will produce results similar to those that attended the labors of the apostles in Berea. But those who preach the truth in these days meet many who are the opposite of the Bereans. They cannot controvert the doctrine presented to them. Yet they manifest the utmost reluctance to investigate the evidence offered in its favor and assume that even if it is the truth, it is a matter of little consequence whether or not they accept it as such. In other words, it's not a salvation issue. How many times have you heard that one? People will say it's not a salvation issue. Well, it will become one if you build your house there. Because a lot of people do that. They keep on saying it's not a salvation issue. Before you know it, they got 10 or 15 things that they're saying it's not a salvation issue, and now it is. That's how the devil gets in there. All he wants is your pinky toe. Once he gets that, he's going for the shin, and then he's going to yank on the leg, and you're gone. But this is exactly why there's 44,000 different denominations. You know, when the wolf gets on the pulpit, and he's got a silver tongue, and he can sit there and manipulate reality, for that matter, you know, and take Scripture and take... See, this is like with Roman Catholicism. They'll give you a couple of verses from one book and then a couple of verses from another book. And everybody thought that's how you do it. That's how I was raised. I was Roman Catholic when I was a kid. And I thought that's how you're supposed to read the Bible. Because that's how we were taught. My mom, my dad, that's how everybody... We all thought that's how it's supposed to be. And then one day I decided, because these people were coming out from behind parked cars or bushes or behind trees and telling me I'm going to hell because I was a Catholic, and they always had a Bible. So I figured, I'm going to read that Bible. But I didn't read it the way the Catholic priest preached it. I didn't go here and pick out two verses and then go there and pick out two verses. I started at the top, Genesis, and went all the way to Revelation. And then it literally scared the Catholicism right out of me. I thought, because I would still be going to church, because it took a while to get through that book. 2 years. And I said, what he just said? No, pastor. I mean, or Monsignor. That's what you call him in the Catholic Church. I guess that's Latin for pastor. But and please don't correct me on that if I'm wrong. I really don't care anymore. But the thing is, I would go and says, you know, this doesn't make sense. You said this verse coincides with this verse, but man, if you read the verses preceding and trailing, it just don't match up. And so I could controvert the doctrine that was being presented to me, just like you, all my brothers and sisters in this church right now, whether you're on the stream, the radio, or here in the chat room, or listening later on, you know, with the like WTPR when it's all pre-recorded stuff. The only reason you left the SDA church, the only reason you left the Catholic church, the only reason you left any of these Protestant churches is because you can controvert the doctrine. You can say, whoa, you know, I can rebuke that statement just by showing you this Bible verse because you just took that way out of context. And that's why we're all together. That's why we're not defiled by women. Why? Because we follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. If they're kicking Jesus out of the church, then it's going to be seen in their sermons, in their studies, on their websites, in their videos. It's going to be seen there. Like the people that just left us. Jesus Christ is not in that church. Period. Lies are the foundation now. We have the Word of God to back that up. The people that left this church 10 years ago, same thing. Lies are the foundation of their theology now. It's a creed. They have to go by what thus saith the pastor, not thus saith the Lord. And see, this is why Paul, or even Sister White, is, you know, touching on what Paul's talking about here in regards to the Berean and how they would check out the scriptures to see if those things were so. It's like those young men that came in here, 10 years ago. You guys, some of you that have been here for years know who I'm talking about, bringing in this so-called new light. And I said, that's not how it's presented. You don't just walk into a church because people like you, because they were likable, very likable. And they come in and they present it to everybody in the church, and all of a sudden me and someone else has got to deal with all this Sanballat bogus stones being thrown around as we're trying to rebuild this breach, you know, fill the breach in the wall, because that's what we're doing. The Sanballat is the demon-possessed people that are, or oppressed people that are going around trying to prevent us from doing, repairing the breach in the wall, because that's who we are. We're the ones that fix the wall, just like Nehemiah did in his day. And so you're going to have your Sanballats. They're going to come up, and they're going to do these things. And so we had to tell them, says, no, this is not how it's presented. You have to present it to the church council. We'll take a look at it. And by the way, we would probably be a good idea if we gathered and formed another church council, because of what happened recently, but we'll talk about that some other time. But that just keeps us honest, you know, if you know what I mean. But anyway, they're bringing this so-called new light, and I says, well, what are the brass tacks, or where the rubber hits the road on this one is, new light can never contradict old light. That's why we have 66 books. If it was like the Muslims do, where they say in their newer books, if this contradicts that which was written in the older stuff, then you have to go by the newer stuff. Why? Because mankind wrote that book. The Vatican actually got caught on that one. And then they murdered a Jesuit that outed them. Rivera, remember that guy? And so the Quran was written by, you know, the Catholic Church to control the Muslims. And that's why you see what's happening now. Just like prophecy said, a little time of trouble, all these Christians being killed. People think, oh, no, those are just Muslims. That has nothing to do with prophecy. Really? Christian dying every 2 minutes right now has nothing to do with prophecy? Oh, so Jesus missed that one, right? Just like Jesus missed the one where the Catholic Church killed 500 million people during the 1,260 years. How did he miss that one? See, they think, oh, that's just no big deal. There's a 7-year trip at the end. No, there isn't. It's not even 7 nanoseconds. That's the oldest trick played on mankind. I go into big detail on my 7-year trip fact or fiction page on that one. But it's just ridiculous in how easily people are pulled off the path because they won't do as the Bereans did. But when you study the scriptures, you can. The little darts that Satan throws, you can see them coming. You know that Bible verse doesn't mean it that way. And if you have the wherewithal to go forward and say, you know, correct your brother or correct your sister, You know, but anyway, these young guys, they came in here and trying to presenting new light, but it contradicted the daylights out of the light that's already been written, because if it wasn't for the way it was set up in Isaiah 8:20, you know, to the law and testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. We would have had 675 books in the Bible right now. But no, we only got 66. Even if we didn't know there was going to be 66 books, as per the prophetic statement mentioned in the candlestick of the in the holy place, 66 different items on that candlestick. That's not a coincidence. We're talking about a God that created, you know, he created all that seen and unseen. So he's not going to, you know, realize, oh, should have had 67 books. Or, oh, I forgot about the Apocrypha. Or the Book of Jasher or Enoch. No, that's Falderall. We're in the last days. 66 books, period. That's all it said in the prophecies when you look at the candlestick. That's all you're going to get. I mean, look at the left side of the candlestick, even has the exact same amount of items on it that the Old Testament has, or First Testament. And then the right side has the exact number of items on it as to the books of the New Testament. That's no mistake. Well, we know this. We went into, I mean, we studied that sanctuary for what, 2 years? A little over? So praise the Lord for that. I mean, it's one gigantic prophecy, one gigantic doctrine too. And so that is, and they didn't pull anybody out when they did this, when, you know, we presented it to them and says, you know, this is light, this light you're presenting is bad light. It contradicts that which is already written. And instead of, you know, because some people do that, it says, you know, they'll send me an email or send, you know, because a lot of you have Bible studies, and we'll go back and forth and figure out if this verse means that or this, or this or that. And a lot of people will, the overwhelming majority, and that's what I love about this church family, they'll say, oh, wow, didn't realize that. Praise the Lord. Because I'll get up there and I'll say, you know, if I messed up. And is that the way it's supposed to be? But these young men, no, they got upset. And then guess what happened? They got baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So that was already, some of us had discernment, myself included, in regards to this could be an infiltration, a plant, try and stop us, shut us down, divide and conquer kind of a thing. But it failed again. And so going on, she says, they think that their old faith and customs are good enough for them. Because that's what, like with the 44,000 different denominations, yeah, you're seeing it now. Yeah, we'll just continue on doing the same things. It's especially with the newer denominations that came into light. And after Christmas was readopted back in, because when this American nation started, yeah, no, nobody wanted anything to do with Christmas. Everybody knew what it meant. It had nothing to do with Christianity and everything to do with paganism. And if people think that I was just talking through my hat, I got a page on the website all about Christmas and how every aspect of it was paganism. And boy, are the sexual innuendos in there. Big time, right up to that steeple. And the mistletoe. And the ornaments on the tree. And the way the garland spills all the way down to the bottom of the tree. It's just plain vulgar. It's mostly homosexual. I mean, come on, Santa Claus. It's a cross-dresser or a homosexual, either way. Why? Santa is the prefix of a female name. Like Santa Lucia. Santa Rosa. San is for a man, like San Jose, San Padre. But Santa Claus. Nobody caught that one, though. Plus, you know the self-indulgent thing, the guy's massive, bowing to the flesh. Well, if you really look at it, and I do this on my, Christmas page, or Xmas page, just remnantofgod.org/, Xmas, xmas.htm. I go into detail in regards to how Santa Claus is actually half pagan sun god Woden, you know, from Woden's day, you know, like Moon Day, Tuesday, Woden's Day, Thor's Day, Friggid Day, and then Saturn Day, and then, of course, the Day of the Sun. It's all paganism. The other part is the patron Saint Nicholas, which is actually from Russia, kind of. It's really a big mix-up. I mean, it's a mess. But whatever works with the people. See, that's what Catholicism, and if I can find that word, hey, maybe Lewis, maybe you could find it. There was a word that I heard, it's a Latin term, and it was, I've shared it so many times in a pulpit back when I was a Sunday keeper, I completely forgot it. Because I was exposing Catholicism. I mean, that was the crux of my work when I first started out with Presence of God. And I did that a lot on the pulpit, and I showed how, and I even did a breakdown. As a matter of fact, one of my newsletters is called Unholy Popes of Rome, or Unholy Men of Rome, or something. I can't remember. But there's a newsletter all about this where I go down the list of some of the craziest things these popes have done in the past. But there was a term that they used that spoke of when they put forth dogma, which we would call doctrine. So they put forth dogma. And if it's dogma that's just downright idiotic and insane, they table it for a decade or two and watch the people. Still doesn't work? Okay, let's wait a century or two. And there was a term for that, to let it wait a century or two or three, so as to wait for the people to submit to Satan to such an extent, that this dogma, that they would go, oh, you got to be kidding me, in the year, say, 500 A.D., to like, oh, yeah, it's not so bad, in the year 800 A.D. There's a term, there's a Latin term that they use that says, yeah, let it cook for a while, because the people are going to eventually get there. I mean, look what happened in the USA. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, all moms had the dresses on. As soon as What's-Her-Face got on that that Hollywood star, that brunette, she wore a pantsuit, boom, all the moms in the neighborhood started wearing pants. Couldn't believe how easy it got. My mom, too. You got to be. I says, what's up with that, Ma? And then the nylons came out, and then, you know. Well, the nylons were already there, if I think about it. Yeah, that's right, they had that stripe on the back. But, anywho, let's continue. She goes on to say that the Lord, who sent out his ambassadors with a message to the world, will hold the people responsible for the manner in which they treat the words of his servants. Harm not my prophets. Remember what he said there twice? It doesn't necessarily have to be a prophet or a patriarch. It's just his servants, is like he's saying here. You know, you can't change that which is written. I mean, look what it says in Revelation about that. If you add to or take away from that which is written, yeah, that's what the hellfire is for people like that. So going on, it says, God will judge all according to the light which has been presented to them, whether it is plain to them or not. In other words, he winks at our times of ignorance. And because a lot of people have a problem with that, especially when they come into this church family and they're Sabbath keeping, and they worry about their mom or their dad or their grandpa or grandma that died as Sunday keepers, but they were strong Christians. And you got to show them, it says, you know, the Lord's going to weaken their times of ignorance. If they didn't know that the Sabbath, you know, because like when I was a Sunday keeper and I became a devout Catholic, and then I left the Catholic Church and I went into doing the work of the Lord as a Sunday keeper, I kept Sunday like a real Sabbath. I wouldn't even buy and sell on that day. And but it was it's, how do I put this? Oh boy. When, because this scared a lot of people, in fact, too. And some of them decided, no, I'm not joining this church because I want to stay with the church my mom and dad have, so I can guarantee myself I'll be and see them in heaven. Where they get that, because they don't read Bibles, that's what's going to happen. But the Lord's going to wink. In other words, if they don't know, that's why even Sister White says, when we get to heaven, we're going to see people up there that we never knew. For all intents and purposes, we thought, you're hell-bound on a greased pole. You know, but you don't know. Look at the thief on the cross. How much theology do you think that guy knew? None, right? But yet his ministry went 2,000 years so far, right? His work followed him. And what was his work? Remember me when thou goest into thy kingdom. That's all he had to say. He didn't have a lot of theological understanding. He ran with the light he understood. And the light he understood was Jesus Christ is the Savior, and he's hanging on the cross next to him. And he accepted him as such, and he will be in heaven. Because Jesus Christ says, today I tell you, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Tom is in the wrong spot, of course, we know, because a lot of people think that meant that Jesus and him went to heaven that day. But no, later on Jesus tells Mary, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to my Father. And so, punctuation was added long after it was translated. So, but the thing, my point in all this is, as well as Sister White shares when she says, God will judge all according to the light which has been presented to them, whether it is plain to them or not. If you don't know it's sinful, then you aren't judge a sinner on that point. You can only confess the sins you know. That's it. And see, that's how the Christian starts to grow. Okay, you put down the whoppers when you became a Christian. You know, like if you smoked, drank, you know, committed adultery or just fornicated like crazy and did drugs, whatever. You become a Christian. All that stuff's in the past. You loathe that lifestyle now. But 20 years later, you say, oh, wow, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be doing that. Had you died prior to that, you'd gone to heaven. Well, when heaven starts, of course. But that day that the Holy Spirit reveals to you something is sinful and you decide that, I shouldn't be doing that, you're blessed. You continue on. He'll continue to give you more light as you go towards it, to where you'll be part of the Gideon band, let's hope. But if you decide, oh, no, I can't give that up. I mean, this, I like that, or I like this. Well, then you're found wanting. And then you're not going to make it home. And so, as she says here, it is their duty to investigate, as did the Bereans. The Lord says through the prophet Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. You know, that's a very telling statement when you think about it. And it's going to be especially hard to hear with plague number one. For the people out there, I mean, look at Amos chapter 8, verse 11, I think it is. Is that 8? Amos 8, 11? 10 and 11? Am I thinking of the right area there? Somebody put it in the room. Well, here, I'll look it up. I think I got my software open. Amos 8. Yep. 11. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That mindset is cultivated today. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, how does that play out with reality? Well, you don't read your Bible, you're destroyed, because he's giving you scripture so you can make it home. But if you don't read it, you're not going to make it home. And then when the plagues hit, verse 12 kicks in. And boy, I tell you, that's a day of reckoning. It says, and they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. What does that mean? Well, all of a sudden they realize those crazy Christians were telling the truth. But and it looks like they've they received the mark of the beast. Maybe they don't even get that part. They just know the plagues have begun and they're not ready, and they think, And since they never study prophecy, they actually think, well, if I go into the Bibles, I can find something in there that'll vindicate me, and I'll still make it home. Because you got to know, there's still going to be some preachers when plague number one hits. They're going to, especially when they start to realize. I mean, look at the preachers out there that preach that secret rapture. How do they explain the fact, and I go into this on my secret rapture page, how do they explain the fact that some of the stuff they said happens after the secret rapture occurs has already happened? How come you guys are still here? You know, because I guess we're all a bunch of nutty, hellbound humans, and you should have been ascended already, but no. That doctrine is bogus. But because time continues on, and the constant cultivation of more lies into the mind, they can't even catch what they used to preach is now proven even to themselves that it's falderal. They've gotten into a new set of lies. So I've been saying for the last 30 years, we're in the age of lying. And so I just praise God that when I came out of the world and embraced Christ as Savior, lying became especially offensive to me. Like I said earlier, it's like being burglarized because you trusted that person. You didn't think they were going to yank your chain and do that to you. And it was never about, I mean, I'd gotten ripped off. Yeah, who doesn't get ripped off? That part didn't, because I always looked at money as monopoly money. You want it here. You know, I'm not in it. That's why I never ask for donations. If I need it, he'll send it. But I don't need it, yeah, we don't get it. You know, it's a week-to-week thing. It's a faith walk. You just trust him. And he taught all of us that, and my, you know, my wife and all 8 of our children, because there were times, especially after we found the Lord, I couldn't get a job to save my life, because, you know, they wouldn't hire me unless I worked on Sabbath, or they would say I'm overqualified. that was, oh, I hated hearing that. I says, I don't care, you know. Oh, I'm going to feel guilty about giving you this much per hour when you deserve so much more. I says, that's just an excuse not to hire me because I won't work Sabbath. So 18 months, couldn't get a job. We weren't on public aid, had a wife and 8 kids, and I think 16 cats. They weren't living in the house, just so you know. One of the cats happened to be exceptionally friendly, and we lived on a farm, and before you knew it, we had cats coming out of our ears all over the place. And then, of course, 2 or 3 dogs, and it was a runaway. Well, no, he wasn't a runaway. He ended up living with us for a little while. And, but yet, 3 square meals a day, 5 bedrooms, 5 acres, $100 a month. Kid you not. Just like Sister White said would happen in the script, in her writings. I thought that was amazing when I saw that. But money was coming from the strangest places. It was just amazing how the Lord cared for us. So, yeah, so we know. And when I saw that, I says, yeah, why ever ask for a donation? I had already started doing the work, of course, but I never ever, because I remember one time, the very first time I was called, I was walking out in this field that I used to pray the rosary in. Yeah, I was a devout Catholic. I'd go out there every day, pray the rosary somewhere. If it was nice out, if it was cold, forget it. I'm in the house on the rocker, going back and forth, praying a rosary. Because I bounce or rock when I pray or study. And so I would, I was out there, and it just was coming upon me to go full-time in the ministry. And I said, man, I got a wife and 8 kids, and no one's donating. I'm not gonna ask. I don't think that's right. I should only ask you, because if I ask, man, I'll stand there, you know, it's like walking into an empty bank with my hand out. Yeah, it's just going to get dusty. And sure enough, and then I finally got a job, but then when he told me to quit, it's like, whoa. Getting paid every 2 weeks, quit my job, went full-time, got my last check 2 weeks later, and the next 2 weeks, donations came in that it matched my paycheck. And that's how it's been ever since. Praise his mighty name. Hope and pray you were blessed. We'll pick it up next week at page 88, first paragraph, where it says, the minds of the Bereans were not narrowed by prejudice. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for your presence. Thank you for giving us all that we need to grow in Christ and to be ready for that latter rain, Father. We want so much to be there. Thank you for forgiving us when we fall short. Thank you for revealing us our little bits and pieces of dross that are still upon us. Thank you for helping us get it off. Let us become overcomers so that we can be covered in the rain. We want to go forth and glorify you, Lord. And we know it's going to get intense out there, but at the same time, we know so is our courage, our discernment, our faith, our wisdom, our meekness, our love, all of it. And so thank you, Father, for giving us that which we need now and then at the time. And Father, we're not concerned about getting the ticket for the train when the train pulls in the station. We trust you. We know we'll get it when we need it. And so thank you for being our God and loving us and guiding us and protecting us with that hedge of angels. And please bless everyone on our prayer list that we always lift up. And we offer this prayer and this praise unto you in the name of your precious Son, who is forever our King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.